Hot and dry weather is common around much of the region, and with that weather, concerns about wildfire. The concerns magnify when the woods come right up to the edge of town or into town, as they do in the city of Ashland. Ashland has participated for years in the FireWise Communities program put together by a national organization, and the extent of that participation puts Ashland in a unique place. Let's find out how. From Ashland Fire Rescue, we have Steve Parks, who's the Fire Adapted Communities Coordinator. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here today. And Chris Chambers is back again. We joked he should get a room here. Chris Chambers is the Forestry Division Chief for Ashland Fire Rescue. Chris, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So tell us about FireWise and how long the concept has been around, if you would, Steve Parks.
Well, FireWise Communities is a national effort put on by the National Association.
National Fire NAPA, Protection.
Yes. Yeah, National Fire Protection Agency. It's been around since right after the turn of the century, so I think around 2002 is when it kind of started kicking off. And the city of Ashland got involved with it pretty actively a little later into the process. I think most of our communities first started up around 2012. In fact, on that note, our first seven communities are coming up on their five-year anniversary this year, which is a really exciting accomplishment for them, and we're going to be trying to acknowledge and celebrate that a little bit later on this year as well.
All right, the concept of community gets a little confusing here because it's not the whole town that becomes considered a FireWise community, but neighborhoods within the town. Is that right?
That's right. It's aimed at small communities within a larger environment. Really easy if you have developed communities and HOAs, they come together and it's really easy for them to develop, do their assessments, do the plan, work on fuels reduction around their properties, and then apply for recognition from the national organization. But it's not only limited to HOAs, even individual neighborhoods. So groups of neighbors, common fence lines, a block, whatever, can come together. So really it's something that's available for anyone that's interested in taking proactive steps to protecting their homes and properties from wildfire threats.
HOAs in this case being homeowners associations?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a group that already identifies as being, this is our community. So it's easy to say to them, you can be a FireWise community, but they have to do some things.
Absolutely. The way that the process works is groups come together and decide that they want to form a community, and then a specialist from the fire department or ODF, if they're outside of a municipality, will come out and they do assessments of the individual homes as well as the community as a whole, just kind of taking a look at your building construction types, the landscaping around the homes. And from that assessment, the group will develop a list of priorities as far as projects they want to accomplish to reduce those threats and, improve safety around there. After they get started on these projects, there's a $2 per capita that they have to meet, and that can be accomplished through, just the volunteer time that the group of individuals are putting into doing these projects, equipment rental, they get a chipper to break up limbs they've cut off of trees, things like that. So it's really easy to meet that capita. And then they submit that copy of the plan, and we'll send it up to the state representative for FireWise, who then forwards it on to the national group. And, as long as they've got that plan that they've started on and have, something to work forward to down the road and have met that, $2 capita, comes back, we recognize them, they get a plaque for the neighborhood that we put up at the entrance of the neighborhood, recognizing them as a FireWise community. And then from there, in future years, there's a renewal process, which is, just another piece of that plan they made. So, continued cleaning up around the neighborhood, additional projects. If they have common areas, they go and work on the common area together as a whole.
Are the goals and the guidelines for how to make a community FireWise, are they as stringent, for example, as they would be for rural homes with the 30-foot and the 100-foot buffers? I mean, it'd be tricky in a neighborhood to get to that level, I would think.
It's the same goals. So within FireWise communities, we look at the structure and the surrounding area we refer to as the home ignition zone. And so we're looking at it, we're looking at the structure itself, 0 to 5 feet. And then from there, it's out to 30 feet and then out to between 1 and 200 feet away from the home. FireWise is all a voluntary program. So there's no hard and fast requirements per se, but it's, there are established recommendations as far as what we want to see. We don't want to see any combustibles up against the home. We don't want to see, plants, small shrubs, whatever, growing up into the eaves. Moving out to that 30-foot zone, we want to see it pretty thinned out. We don't want to have that continuous surface fuel path to allow fire to get up close to a home.
We're talking about FireWise communities and how the city of Ashland is leading the way, apparently, in the country in the number of communities within town that have adopted the approach. Steve Parks and Chris Chambers are from Ashland Fire Rescue. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org, or check out one of the pictures on our Facebook page, snapped just a few moments ago. People love getting their pictures taken at 8 o'clock in the morning, we find. So I'm glad you brought up the stuff about the volunteer part, because I saw the $2 per capita part there, which would indicate if your community is 500 people, you need to show that you've spent $1,000 roughly in that community. But it can be accrued through volunteer time.
Very easily. In fact, I believe, if I remember correctly, the going rate for volunteer hours is $22 and change right now, which I wish my hourly value was $22 plus and change. But so it's easy. Very easy to make that capita. And again, it's the volunteer time that's put into it. That includes the meetings and the planning phases of things as well as the boots on the ground time when you're actually out completing these projects.
The genius with FireWise is it is a shared responsibility between homeowners and fire protection agencies and the community at large. And there's, I think, been a feeling over the past couple of decades and even before that, hey, if a fire breaks out, the fire department's just going to show up and put it out, right? You know, I'm not a homeowner. I don't have a role in this. And that's far, far from the truth. And we know from regional perspective here, you know, all the way up to the Willamette Valley, down using the Weed Bowls fire last year as an example in our Northern California neighbors, this is an issue for Southern Oregon, Northern California that is significant. And it's not going to be solved by fire agencies just showing up when the fire breaks out and defending homes. And although we are going to do that part, of course, but at the same time, homeowners through FireWise and other types of efforts similar to FireWise in California, they have the fire safe councils is another way to get at it. But the same end goal, that everybody's taking their piece of the pie and taking responsibility for it, because without all the work that's done beforehand, we show up and the fire's already going. We're way behind the curve if folks haven't done this kind of work.
Now, we're talking about the fact that some of the FireWise communities in Ashland are approaching the five-year mark, and we're getting close to the five-year anniversary of the Oak Knoll fire. So were some of those communities already being established at the time of the Oak Knoll fire that destroyed 11 homes?
They were. It somewhat ironically happened that we had started the FireWise program here, and we had our first coordinator on board, and she was working on communities, and one of those was the one that was impacted by the Oak Knoll fire. Not the primary community, but the fire would burn right into the edge of the one that became our first FireWise community. So it was sort of serendipitous that happened the way that it did. But since then, as you can see from the numbers that we've got now with the communities, number of communities on board, it has spread. Maybe I shouldn't say like wildfire, but
yeah,
it has spread
the terms there, yeah,
quickly through town, and we're really happy about that.
You mentioned the Bowls fire in Weed, which of course is the greatest local example, and not a good one, but 150 homes burned all at one time. Has sent people down to the Bowls fire to take a look at what happened there and see what lessons might be drawn for Ashland?
You know, we haven't gone down there to look at it. Just haven't had a chance to get down there and talk to folks. But there has been a lot of research in the last 10 years that has really tweaked our understanding of how homes burn. And there have been plenty enough fires throughout the western United States, and Oregon included. And I would, of course, throw in there the Oak Knoll fire here in Ashland that we have learned a lot of lessons from, and we're able to apply those within the FireWise framework to really help people get to that next level of fire protection.
Chris Chambers and Steve Parks from Ashland Fire Rescue, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about FireWise communities within Ashland. Ashland apparently leads the country in the number of FireWise communities in town. We'll get the number in just a moment. The phone number you can call if you'd like to take part, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org, or just check out the pictures of Chris and Steve on our Facebook page. Within the FireWise communities, and I noticed that some of the vegetation you recommend taking, juniper seems to top the list every single time. What does juniper do in a fire, Steve Parks?
Well, it's basically sort of like throwing gasoline on the ground and throwing a match into it. Juniper, it's an evergreen, so it has a high oily content, and it just burns like crazy. And not only that, but, excuse me, as juniper. Juniper grows. It's dying off underneath, so it's leaving lots of dead, dry debris underneath. So it's just this huge, ready-to-go fuel pile, and it'll burn anytime.
Smells and looks nice, but it is really not the kind of thing you want to have next to your house.
It is just about, if not the one of the worst possible things you can have close to your house.
When we think about the kind of stuff that you mentioned, it's like gasoline. It reminds me to think about the fact that we do get turpentine from pine trees. So are pine trees sort of nasty guys to have close to your house?
They are. That sap, that oily sap, is also highly flammable.
So how many FireWise communities are there in Ashland now then?
Well, we are recognizing our seven newest communities tomorrow afternoon, and that'll take us up to 19. We have three more that have completed their work, and we're just waiting for the approval to come back from the federal program. That'll take us up to 22.
That's impressive. And so I understand that you discovered that this is not just the number one city for FireWise communities in Oregon, but in the country?
It is. There are currently, there are 41 states that are involved. There's right around 1,090 communities as of August of last year. And as a single city, we're leading by now a pretty good margin.
And any idea of what percent of the population of the city is covered by the soon-to-be 22 FireWise communities?
That I don't know, Chris.
I don't know that. I know the communities range in size. So, folks who are wanting to get together and put a FireWise community in place, it could be as few as just 3 to 5 houses. We have one that's 3, and we have some that are over 100 houses. So it's the community term is pretty loose as to what that constitutes at the neighborhood level and across the country. I'm sure FireWise looks very different in many of those 41 states. So size is not something to worry about in trying to get together with your neighbors and do a better job for protecting yourselves.
In defining the boundaries of the FireWise communities, do you look for natural boundaries, breaks like roads or creeks or ridges or anything like that?
Optimal, yes, but not required.
Okay, so it really is a case of like whoever wants to go in on this. Do you have some parts of town that would be of a concern? We're talking like particularly the urban wildland interface where there are not FireWise communities established yet?
That is a little bit of a concern. We'll take them anywhere we can get them in the city of Ashland. We've been on the program before here talking about expanding the city's wildfire hazard zone. So that's pretty much...
I circled it just as you said it, yes.
It wasn't even planned. So we are open to FireWise communities anywhere in the city of Ashland. And, one of the things that's been learned over the past couple of decades in wildfires is it's really not only these homes on the fringe of the forest in cities across the country and communities. It can be anywhere. The fire can start not only from vegetation out in the forest, but the fire could start from a home in the kitchen, and then it spreads to adjacent homes because of the landscaping that's exterior to the structures themselves, and it spreads from home to home that way. So FireWise can be in an urban setting, and I think that's one of the things that Ashland has brought to the table, and then we've talked about at some national conferences, is really that urban setting for FireWise. And that's where you see the big home losses. Colorado experienced two big fires over the last few years, losing hundreds of homes in each. And each of those, although related to the forest, was also in an urban setting.
It seems like if nothing else, you gain a great benefit by the fact is that you get you multiply the numbers of eyes who are looking for things that would be a problem in the case of a large fire moving around, Steve. I mean, you're looking, and people can now look at other people's houses and go, I can see they got this close to the house. They got some juniper, all those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And in our community, in any community, really, what you run into is we were talking about the three zones that we look at for a structure. So, the house itself out to 30 feet and then out 1 to 200 feet. Well, that outside zone is definitely in most cases, especially in our settings, getting into the neighbor's yard or the next couple of neighbors. So being able to come together and work collaboratively to reduce the fuel content within, everybody's yards just reduces that overall risk. And that's one of the three primary ways that we see structure losses in a wildfire event is you have embers traveling out ahead of the fire itself that are landing on roofs and in yards. And, we'll smolder for a bit and then eventually can start a fire within the home. And then you also see structure to structure ignition. So one home gets going for whatever reason, it's going to be right there radiating heat into the next house over, and you know, we're off to the races, unfortunately. So working with that collaboration is a great way to, you know, try and minimize the risk and create those fuel breaks to give it a place to stop.
All right, 22 FireWise communities then very soon in the city of Ashland, a ceremony to welcome the newest communities tomorrow at noon at Station 2 in the city of Ashland. A final email here from Ann in Grants Pass. He says, here in Josephine County, the Oregon Department of Forestry can give grant money to homeowners for fire prevention around their house to make a safe space. I just had them come to inspect my house area. They gave me a voucher for $1,000 to have 2 acres cleared of brush and trees limbed up, a great program to make me feel safer, which we have talked about previously on The Exchange. And thanks for that. Steve Parks and Chris Chambers from Ashland Fire Rescue, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us, Jeffrey.